Hello, welcome to Washira Tech Podcast. And today I have some headlines that are making a buzz in the internet. And I think they're going to be interesting because tech is always evolving and new things are always coming out. The first headline that really caught my eye is the Kenyan smartphones. So I saw the newly launched smartphones by His Excellency the President on October 30th. He unveiled the EDAC, the company which is producing these smartphones. And his main agenda, the Gava Mkononi, to help Kenyans get the services on their hands using these smartphones. And it is something cool because Kenya can now say that they are producing some smartphones locally and people are going to buy them because they are quite affordable. Now, the Kenyan smartphones are two, the Neon Smarter and the Neon Ultra, and they don't have very interesting or high-end specs for that matter, but considering the price, yeah, the specs are good for the price. The Neon Ultra has a 6.5-inch screen and 60 hertz refresh rate, and it has an IPS LCD screen. The resolution is 720 by 1600 with a DPI of 280. I don't really know which Android version it has because I've tried to check through the internet, but I couldn't find. But I know it's a Go edition. Maybe Android 10 Go edition, because I found the Neon Smarter has an Android 10 Go edition also. And it has a Safaricom locked single SIM. It has that 750 milliampere hour battery, which is quite low for the price point. A 5 megapixels camera selfie. The back camera is 8 megapixels. It has 2GB of RAM and 32GB of storage. Now, the Neon Smarter has a 5-inch display, which is also IPS LCD, has an Android 10 Go edition. It is also Safaricom locked single SIM, 3000 milliampere hour lithium polymer battery. It has a 2 megapixel selfie camera, 5 megapixels back camera, 2GB of RAM. The price is 7,500 Kenya shillings. The price for the Neon Ultra is 11K. And I think the prices are good for the current market. But the main issue I can see here is the single SIM, Safaricom locked, and the battery. Man, the battery is so low because when you look at the current market, the price range, most of the phones are boasting a 5,000 milliampere battery, and 3,000 is quite low. It's going to drain a little bit faster. And that is something that I have noticed. People really want bigger batteries. They may not even concentrate so much on the camera stuff, but the battery is really important for people. Now, it is a good move. It is a very good step because when you think about having a local manufacturer for smartphones and they have already started mass producing the phones, it is so good because now it is like the first step, and then gradually we're going to be diving into the big phones, the high-end phones, which are really interesting to review. But the phones now, these are phones which are good for the general public in business, in at home. They can be able to watch something in the internet. And mainly, they can be able to access the Gava Mkononi eCitizen application on their phones and get the services easily. I just wanted to do a small comparison between the Neon Ultra and the Infinix Smart 7 HD, which has been in the market for some time now. And I think they're quite the same. They boast like the same specs, except for the Infinix Smart 7 HD has a 6.6-inch screen and maybe a lower DPI of 267, but it has a higher Android version, Android 12, which is still the Go edition. And mainly, when you hear Go edition, it's mostly made for phones which have like 2GB RAM, less than 2GB RAM. And that's why you can hear all these phones have Go Edition. But Infinix Smart 7 HD has a dual SIM. And mainly, people love dual SIM so that they can use like Airtel and Safaricom at the same time and enjoy both services. And I think, yeah, that's a point for the Infinix Smart 7 HD. So the dual SIM will really make people talk about it, but not really, because most of the people use Safaricom. But yeah, having a dual SIM compatible phone is something that most of the people would like to have. And the other setback where I could give Infinix Smart 7 HD a point is the battery. They have a 5,000 mAh battery compared to that 750 mAh battery. And yeah, it means that it will stay on for longer hours and you can be able to use it for longer hours. The other main difference is the storage. The Neon Ultra has a 32 GB storage. Infinix Smart 7 HD has a 64 GB storage, and they're ranging in the same price. So for a person who loves more storage and more battery, they might end up just buying the Infinix Smart 7 HD. But also to maybe promote the local market of phones, you can go for the Neon Ultra, which might be enough for most of the people who are using smartphones. So personally, I will not go for either of them, the Neon Ultra or the Neon Smarter, because I'm looking for a better specs. But I would buy the phone for like a person like my mom, because I know that they are not really in need of the high-end specs. And the phone is good, though I've not had the chance to test it or see it, but the photos online and the simple reviews from the tech guys online show that the phone is not that bad. We have had the Neon Kicker and phones from Safaricom in the past, and they are not bad. They are usable and user-friendly, and yeah, I think these two will be a great force in the community. And I think many people will have access to tech locally because the phones are made here. And it's a good thing, and I'm proud of having a phone manufacturing company here. And I think that's all for the Kenyan smartphones. You can tell me what you think about the smartphones. Reach out to me on my social media platforms. And maybe whether I missed a point or whether you know more about these phones. Now, you can find these phones mostly on masoko.com, the Safaricom selling point for their stuff. And yeah, you can try them out and maybe even reach out and tell me how they are. Now, the next headline is quite interesting because it's about AI. And yeah, goodbye programmers, team of AI bots develop software in 7 minutes instead of 4 weeks. Yeah, you can see why that headline caught my eye. Now, if you think about programming, it's something that has been done by people for a long time. It takes time to plan and all that. But a group of people working at universities in China and the US, they just decided to take a step further and cut humans out of the creative process completely, or maybe almost completely, because instead of relying on a single chatbot which provides like answers to questions when you ask it, they created a team of ChatGPT 3.5 powered bots, each assuming a different role in a company. They created a company inside of AI. They had the CEO, the CTO, the CPO, the programmer, the code reviewer, the code tester, graphic designer, and all these were powered bots, and they were powered by ChatGPT 3.5. And each bot was told what to do, and it was told like, yeah, now this is what you need to do. You're supposed to designate tasks and roles because you are CEO, you're supposed to make communication protocols, you're supposed to do some termination criteria and constraints. And now what happened is each bot knew what their role was, from the CEO, the CPO, the CTO, and the rest. So when you look at that article, you can see some image showing the bots saying who they are. They're like, I'm the CEO of ChatDev. The company name was ChatDev. And they said that that company had these bots who were arranging hierarchical order so that they could develop this software. And like what happened is that it's interesting because they were able to work together and create a software in lesser time. So how did they really achieve that? So they really worked, they were to follow an established waterfall development model with tasks like designing, coding, testing, and documenting of work done. And each and every person was given a task. Now, the most interesting thing about this is that the CEO was excluded from any technical aspect of the process, and his role was mainly to produce the initial input and then return for the summary, and leaving the techies and the designers to actually do their job and to actually do their job in peace. And that's quite unlike the real world, because how many conflicts would be solved if that happened? Anyway, once the entire team was ready to go, the researchers fed the virtual team with specific software development skills and tasks. Measured how it would perform both on accuracy and time required to complete each of them. So the members, which were the bots, they could communicate between each other. And there is a certain exchange between the CTO and the programmer. And the CTO is like, we have decided to complete the task through an executable software with multiple files implemented via Python. And he's trying to explain to the programmer what they really want. And it's an interesting conversation. And the main thing about all this is the time taken to complete the task, because they run like 70 different tasks through the AI company, and 86%, like over 86% of the produced code was executed flawlessly. And the remaining 14%, it has some hiccups, but not because the bots could not work through it, but because it had broken external dependencies and limitations of the ChatGPT API. So it was not the flow of the method itself. So the longest time it took to run a single task was like 10-30 seconds, which is like 17 minutes. So the main thing that happened is that they took a very short time to run a task that would have taken a longer time. This just shows how AI is progressing, even though it's not at the time, it's not at its time, like to say goodbye programmers and hey, you cannot be able to program anymore because AI has taken over. But it shows that AI will eventually start doing massive things. So we're just in the beginning of a revolution, which is not like very advanced in the moment. But the fact that they can be able to do that might cause a concern if you're a programmer. Now, the outcome was not really functional, all of it. A big part of it was, but it is expected even in humans when something goes wrong in a program and they have to keep on making it better and better. But, you know, also AI has certain biases and different settings. And the main thing is that it's just that the AI company was able to communicate like a real company and come out with a program, like a program that you could provide to a client, like they had an outcome. And it did not just save time, it saved money also, because when you have a big team of a CEO and the CTO and all those, they require to be paid. But the chatbots, maybe you'll have some investment and you'll lay down some of your cash, but it is not as much as that. And maybe even in the future, you'll be able to come up with even a better outcome and even faster from the AI as compared to the human beings. But that now, that one we just have to sit down and find out, because, yeah, the future really looks interesting. And as a tech reviewer, I would really want to see what goes on in the future. So what do you think about the AI and programming? I'm not a programmer myself. I might have missed a lot of details. So I'd like you to reach out also and, yeah, give me some insights about what you think about this. I will leave a link to the paper of the researchers from those universities in the description section. And you can go and check it out by yourself, and it might be interesting for you. There are claims that Microsoft is going to replace the start button with the Copilot in Windows 12, which is coming in 2024. And the main reason for them to use Copilot is the AI. You know, they have the ChatGPT and Bing, which have been collaborated with AI. And then they want to use the Copilot in Windows 12 as the start button for the user experience and maybe voice commands and all that. But the Copilot will not be available only on Windows 12. It has maybe an earlier version in Windows 11. If you have been updating your Windows 11 software, you might have seen an icon, Copilot icon, maybe next to the start button, which you can use to ask questions. You can use to do some simple stuff in your computer. But in Windows 11, it is kind of sluggish. So in Windows 12, they want to have an centric user experience, an AI-centric user experience. And Microsoft is really growing their AI capabilities, and they want to make it available even for the person using the computer. Now, it can be used to open applications. It can be used to explain something to you as AI, and that will be quite interesting to use in Windows. But I would like that they make it accept voice commands, maybe to open applications using your voice commands, maybe to answer some questions that you might have when you're connected to the internet, obviously. And that would be good. We're waiting for Windows 12 in 2024, and we'll see how great it will be at that time. So the next headline is about S20 devices, most of the devices produced in 2020, the flagships, which were to receive 3 years of major updates. But a certain article was posted by Samsung, which mentioned some of the devices produced in 2020 as if they would get Android 14. But yeah, they will not get Android 14. It has caused a confusion in the internet, and people with S20, S20 Ultra, the older Z Fold and Z Flip phones, they thought they would get one more update because they are currently in Android 13. But yeah, they won't get the Android update, because back then, Samsung used to give only 3 years of updates. And from 2022, they started giving 4 years of major updates. And the only phones now which can get the 4 years of major updates are from the phones produced in 2022. When you look at the S20s, the people were so happy and they were hyped and they really thought they get the Android 14 update. But yeah, they don't get the update. We can see that the people are really focused on the updates because Google, in their Pixel phones, actually announced 7 years of system and security updates. And there is no company which have said, which have given that length of security and system updates. And I'd like to see how Samsung will respond. Maybe they feel challenged. And yeah, I'd like to see because they are producing the S24 and it will be released earlier next year. And I'd like to see how many updates they will give for the S24 because Google has really challenged the phone market with their updates. And yeah, S20, S20 Ultra, you'll not be getting Android 14 update. So don't be confused anymore. So the next headline is actually the bending phone. Now, we have seen a lot of prototypes in phones, especially when you watch the CES videos. And people, they are really innovating and trying new things with smartphones, which is really, really cool. And something that came up recently is the bending phone from Motorola, which actually was acquired by Lenovo. And during this Lenovo Tech World 2023 event, they showcased their Motorola, which actually bends and you can put it on your wrist as a watch. So in 2016, they actually showed a prototype of the phone and everyone was hyped and everyone was happy. And then they went into the dark for like 7 years, which is crazy because 2016 seems like just a few years ago. Anyway, they now have brought it back to light and they showed how people are just innovative. Now, what happens is that it is built around a flexible OLED display, which can be worn as a watch, like they showcased. And maybe it has some magnetic functionality because it would just fall off when you let it go. So it is something interesting and it is not quite practical for the general public, but yeah, it is good. It shows how people really want to be innovative and new things are coming out each and every time. It shows that they can be able to do something which is cool and it makes me happy, even though it's just a small population which really needs to even see the phone. But it is good. But according to The Verge, they realize it has a weird crunching noise, which might make you see that it's still in the works. But I'd like to see, I love seeing companies trying out a lot of things. You can see the stretching phone, you can see the expanding phones, the fold phones, they were concepts at some point, but now they're in the mainstream. Like all these trials and errors which companies do, they are really interesting because they show you that tech is still growing and there's a lot of things that can be done. Well, it may not be practical for a lot of people, but it is something cool to see and maybe even play around with it. And yeah. So the bending phone is quite cool and I would really want to have a look at it physically if it was possible. But yeah, right now I can only get hands-on with the Neon Smarter and the Neon Ultra, which are currently available here locally. And I would like to know what you think about the headlines, the today's headlines, the phones, the Neon Smarter, the Neon Ultra, the chat GPT, AI bots, which have created a software, the replacement of the start button with the Copilot in Windows 12, the S20 and S20 Ultra, among other phones receiving Android 14, and the bending phone, which is still in the works. So what do you think about today's podcast? I have some more headlines to share with you, but today I have a clogged nose. It's quite cold and I got rained on. Yeah. And I have quite of a cold right now. But next time it's going to be even more interesting. And I'd like you to reach out to my social media accounts, which I'm going to leave in the description place. And yeah, let us talk more about tech. Let us learn together, as my slogan says. And it would be very interesting to see tech growing in this country. And yeah, shout out to everyone who has subscribed to my podcast on Spotify. Thank you. I feel really appreciated. And I would like also, if you're not subscribed, you can get this podcast on any platform that you listen your podcast on. Just search for Washira Tech Podcast and everything is going to be right. Thank you for tuning in today. It was a great podcast. I have learned a lot. I hope you have learned something too. And let's meet next time. Peace out.